This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 329. You should just agree, because I'm correct. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are joined again on our podcast by one of our favorite human beings, Mayor Young from Fantastic what? Forum, Gekken, generally of the internet, all games, holy
podcast
crap.
Podcast gentleman of the world.
You are, in fact, a gentleman of the internet.
And a scholar.
Thank you guys for saying so. I'm happy to be here. I don't know how it is you guys let me come back, but I'm happy it happened.
Here's the thing. We pretty much have an open door policy that as long as you don't suck,
yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
and look, you, sir, don't suck.
All right. Who knew? No.
you're on the top list. Like in the top spots of who we, if we were going to open a third spot up, who I think he'd be a great third.
It's like an automatic given.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not like trying to twist your arm or anything, but anyway.
I was about to say, like, I'm definitely electric.
And
you're of the hood. And like, you know yeah, sisters.
Like, quiet is kept. I'm very hood. A lot of people don't know that about me, but. But
you know, so I'm just saying, 2 out of 3.
Right, I love sisters.
See?
In the hood.
But anyway, we have a bunch of, I'm just gonna segue that way. We're just gonna leave it like
that's
that.
That's right, cool. Take that right. That's
gonna be
fine.
All right. Just, you know, some people go left at Abercrombie.
3 rights make a left. So.
I like to go right.
Okay.
And 3 rights do make a left, but they don't right a wrong.
No. You can't take 3 rights and smack somebody in the face and be like, that's okay. No, that's wrong.
That's just not right.
I love my logic. It only makes sense to me.
Sometimes it makes sense to me, too, and that worries me. But we are going to talk video games this podcast episode.
Any particular ones, Ninja?
Yes. This is going to be an all-game podcast. It's wall-to-wall games.
Wall-to-wall games.
On this episode of the Electric Sisterhood Podcast. Brought to you by...
Wired.
I don't even
just
know
just kidding.
I just don't... I don't know. I've had...
Brought to you by us, because we have time to
sure,
do it.
I've had way too much sugar today. I'm just saying. But those blueberry Eggo waffles were delicious.
And then you know what would help that out?
Mm-hmm.
Tequila?
You know, here's the thing. I don't disagree with you. Unfortunately, it's not within arm's length right now, so I'm going to have to go without it.
He's like, you shouldn't disagree, because I'm correct. No.
Just look into his eyes to know the truth.
I mean, it's true. It is true. But we do have quite a few things to talk about. I'm glad that you can join us today, Lauren, to add some, I think, perspective. Because I get very opinionated.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I own it about myself.
Good, I'm glad.
Okay, I'm not like, I don't have an opinion, but I'm never like that. As you well know, I'm like, no, this is what I feel.
I know, and then tell us how you really feel about that opinion.
And then sometimes I tell you how I really feel about it. But then, you know, there's no games. You know,
there's no bullshit.
Exactly.
None.
It's just truth speak. That's what I try to live by. And so I have some truth speak that I would like to share. First up on deck, I want to talk about...
deck.
Get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Ubisoft's announcement this week. That wasn't really planned by them initially.
Right.
Because they were forced to share some information about Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Somebody played Show Us Your Hand card and they had to show their hand.
Well, somebody played I Can Do Internets Just As Good As You Can.
Possibly better.
And evidently a little bit better because I was able to surface through your own website... the trailer and the release date of your new
Well, then you don't put that shit on your page, even if you think it's hidden.
Yeah.
Keep it in your dream journal and share it at the Tuesday meeting.
That's really kind of what you're supposed to do. You know, you just leave it alone in there. You let it blossom.
Wait until Suggestion Thursday and be like, hey guys, I have a suggestion for a new game.
And then open the dream journal, lick your finger.
Page 22.
Go to page 22 and share the idea. But that didn't happen. Instead, some very crafty people of the internet were able to decipher that Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which is what the fourth game is called, is going to be released on October 29th this year.
Huzzah!
Okay, and it's pirate-themed.
Arr!
Okay, and I'm excited.
Okay.
Now.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Okay, now, hold on. I'm excited. They put out the box art after the leak happened because, you know, the cat's, you know, out of the bag, so you can't really do anything about that. So they released the artwork on their Facebook page and out to the press and put together a little piece. And they will be sharing more information by the time you guys are hearing this podcast about the game, a little bit more in depth about the story. But
right. As
it was announced, there was kind of some real knee-jerk reactions within the gaming community. And I thought it was really interesting.
Haters gonna hate, yo.
Well, I thought it was really interesting because
knee-jerk reactions in the gaming community.
I know, right? Who would expect
like,
that?
It sounds like the Oscars are political. What?
What?
But I was really surprised because a bunch of people, you know, just in my personal social networks that I know to be huge fans of Assassin's 3 and the entire franchise.
Outside of
one. Were really and truly upset about this announcement. Like, throwing serious haterade in the direction of Ubisoft. And it really surprised me because, you know, when we were doing all of our pre-hype for 3... I sat there, as you probably don't remember, Panda, but...
I dolefully remember the experience.
Yeah, but I sat there and said, there's no way that Ubi's going to walk away from a successful franchise.
No.
This franchise has been making money hand over fist for them. So Assassin's 3 is not going to be the end of their exploration of the Assassin's world on the franchise.
No, it's just the end of Desmond.
It's just the end of Desmond's story. So I said it'd be interesting to see what next Assassin takes the forefront.
I think it'd be great if we saw a Templar who got converted to an assassin, and then it's that person's story.
Well, what's interesting is that
that's interesting. My idea.
Assassin in this game is Connor's granddad, right?
Yes.
Yeah. With that being his granddad, who's an assassin, like. His kid, spoiler, you know, for those that don't know yet, his kid is a Templar.
Basically, that's why I was like, your idea, Panda, is kind of interesting because that's basically where we're going. You know, you've got
they're flipping scripts now.
The assassin that we're going to play is named Edward Kenway. He's Haytham's grandfather, and so we're going to go through his experience leading up to, I hope, a little bit of explanation of why maybe Haytham became a dick.
Well, is he Haytham? He's Haytham's father or grandfather?
Yeah, he's Haytham's father, so he's Connor's grandfather.
Okay. Right, okay, got it.
And so I'm hoping that as you go through this, the thing, that we maybe get to see how Haytham gets to be the way he's going to be, or possibly, because, you know, it's not going to be a one and done for Ubi with this next series of games that we have, since so much was put on Connor and Connor's evolution, I feel like it's very easy for Ubi to do a whole lineage of this guy
and this
progressing
guy
into his life and then into Haytham and at some point being Haytham and actually making the switch. I feel like that would be a really interesting thing to explore in the UB world, because they made such a point of pointing out that Haytham was formerly an assassin who then joined the Templars. Well, why?
Right.
It's because they get bagel Tuesdays.
Was a great plot twist.
They got bagels on Tuesdays, and he was a pro-bagel man.
I mean, who's not pro-bagel?
There are some people who like bilalis.
But I don't know that a bagel would be able to make me change my entire philosophy.
What if they're really good bagels, though?
I don't know,
And also, hands up, does anyone feel like the Assassin's Creed franchise is going to be like Ubi's, like, Final Fantasy? Because, I mean, we're already at 4 now.
That's
like,
not really 4.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It's kind of like 6.
And, I mean, Square Enix told me that, hey, Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3 are actually the same game 3 times. Just saying.
Ubisoft has said they wanted to make an Assassin's game every year. They said that, like, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and because they didn't number them like how, you know, franchises usually number, people kind of forget that they've come out with an Assassin's game every year since, like, what, 08?
Yeah, I think.
So it's like, I don't know why people act surprised. Like, they said it already, and people are like, they can't churn out games of that quality every year, and they've done it. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, too, where I know just now you're like, you know, it's going to be like Final Fantasy, where you're like 1 through 3 was the same game, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking them because
neither am I.
Right. But Ubisoft has made some distinct strides in the differences between these Assassin games. And you know, like, I can say that only because I'm not an Assassin file. You know, I wasn't like a dude that was like, has bought all of these Assassin's Creed games and, you know, was playing all of them, but I played enough of them to know that there was a distinct difference between, for instance, 3 and, like, 2.
Ninja has all of them, don't you?
Yes, I am an assassin file, and I didn't become one until 2, because 1 I was like, no.
I know, then you're like, play 1, and then I played it 15 minutes and said, I'm done.
One. Competitive, but they fixed it with 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really where I kind of fell in love with the series. And, you know, I remember UB saying that we really want to be able to deliver a great experience every single year. And, you know, they've set their pipeline up to achieve just that, you know, because you had Brotherhood and you had Revelations and they weren't numbered. People forget that every single year for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've had a new Assassin game that was announced typically at UB's media briefing at E3 of a game that was coming out that holiday.
Yep.
So I'm with you. I'm in the same camp. I don't understand why people are surprised. I don't understand why people have been throwing serious haterade. Like, oh, you made such a big deal about changing, you know, all of the mannerisms around from Desmond's models to Connor's model, and now you're throwing Connor away?
Right. And then I will also, I think you got to give Ubisoft credit because, you know, they basically understood their audience and understood their game well enough where they took one of the major mechanics from the last game. And it, you know, sounds like they're going to make it kind of the main mechanic in this new game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, one of the things that everyone lauded and held up was these pirate ship battles and how well the ship controls were and how fun it was to do these naval missions. And sure enough, Ubi was able to hone in and understand, like, that's one of the greatness of our last game, and we're gonna make our new game surround that. And so now you got a pirate game.
Well, I'm sure their incorporation of the naval battles in this game was to see how well the gamer consumer base would take to it, to be like, could we do a game with just ships? Let's put a little bit in the last game and see what happens. Yes, we can. Let's do it.
See, but that's the thing. Like, for them to have it in the pipe and ready to be done, you know, for this year, they had to know that beforehand, even probably before the game came out.
Absolutely. You know, because that's the thing. Most of these games, especially for the systems that are out now, you're still looking at a 3, you know, year dev cycle, and that's you throwing every dev that you got and you're building on it. So for them to have a game ready to go that is all naval-based, they basically had to know halfway through development of 3 that this was the direction they wanted to go.
With 4, yeah. Right.
And that, to me, you know, again, just sums up what you said, Mayor, is that they really have a strong understanding of what their audience gravitates toward that works in order to do that. Because to push out a new game every single year that is unique and different and isn't just a rehash of the game before,
Mm-hmm.
Takes a lot of planning, creativity, trust, and understanding of not who you want your audience to be, but who your audience is.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when you really think about it in regards to other video game franchises that do this, it's like, this is like on par with like a Madden or a Call of Duty in regards to those kind of development cycles. And we see how hit and miss those can be.
I was actually just about to bring that up, you know, a little bit, because I have one particular person on my Facebook who is truly opinionated in his way of thinking, which is totally fine. But I had to knock him back down into acquaintance because I was sick of seeing what he had to say about this particular topic. I was like, that's enough for a Sunday, I swear to God. And they were
been downgraded by Pandalicious.
And a lot of the hate raid was really about the whole concept of, oh, because they know pirates are in, they're just pandering because people like pirates. And I'm just like, whoa. For a fucking dude who didn't even play Assassin's Creed 3, like, and Revelations and all that, I'm like, you're gonna bitch about a comp that you didn't even play. You don't even know.
Look, I'm a ninja, and I am pro-pirate when it comes to this game.
Well, I know, yeah, but he brought the whole pirate thing, and he's like, why aren't we doing more with the historical stuff? Why aren't we going into Moscow and Russia? I'm like, because Call of Duty, like, lives in, like, Russia and Germany. I'm like, and they don't want to go that route, obviously, because we have games that already deal with that aspect of life.
Well, you know, the thing that I come away with is, we don't yet know what the storyline is for the game. We know that right now, from a trailer that's been released and the artwork, that Edward is a privateer. We know that there's going to be all kinds of battles on the water, and we know that there are going to be battles against pirates. Evidently, Blackbeard fears Edward for some reason. You know, from the main trailer, we've seen he's telling a tale to all of his people about how...
Are they going to have him voiced by Jeffrey Rush?
No. Unfortunately. Man. Sorry. No. Man. My thing is that since we're dealing with the private, you know, the pirate times, that you basically can run, you know, anywhere between the time that we play in Assassin's 3, so you can pick it up from any point, really, is kind of like flashbacks of... Haytham of his father in the first game up to Haytham's time, then the second game can be Haytham leading up into the time that we play 3, but you have the entire period of time up to 1812 that you can play with, because that's when, you know, piracy ended. So there's all kinds of history that we're going to be dealing with, which is why I don't buy into anyone's thing of, I don't understand why you're not doing more things with history. The whole genre is steeped in historical periods of time.
And mind you, a lot of people griped at exactly how much history got put into 3, because, yeah, it was going on, but you didn't really have too much of a hand in, you know, because it's history, so you can't really alter history, because it's kind of already happened. But people don't...
Did you not play the Madness of King George DLC?
No, I didn't get the downloadable content yet.
Oh, you should do that.
Oh, I will. So now I can retract that last statement that I just made.
Yeah. Because right from the title, Madness of King George should, you know...
So wait, do we get to drive him insane? Like, leaving propaganda? Like, throw some propaganda?
You should just play the DLC.
King. Okay. Tyrant King.
Yes, I know who he is. He's the one who's like, hey, let's go over to America and fuck with the Native Americans.
No. It's George Washington.
George
Washington.
Sorry, I was thinking the King George from England.
Yeah, no, not King George.
Wrong one.
No.
My bad.
He was the 1500s.
Oh, my bad. See? And that's why I need to go back to school and open a damn history book.
Go back to school, Panda.
And that's why sometimes you should just sit and be pretty.
I should just shut my effing mouth.
Just sit and be pretty. Because you're so pretty.
You're cute, girl. You're cute.
It's okay. It's all right. Sorry, we don't have a video podcast right now.
We can't hold you responsible for not knowing alternate history, right? I mean,
exactly.
For all I know, I'm a scholar in an alternate dimension.
You probably are.
But like, just for background purposes, when we did get independence from England, because, you know, we don't have a lot of good ideas on our own necessarily all the time, we were like, well, let's just make the head of our government king too. And we were going to make George Washington king. And
right, but he didn't want to be king.
He didn't want to be king. And so that's how we got the presidents. But
he just didn't want to be king.
He chooses to be king. Right. Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Say what? I just blew your mind.
Yes, yeah, you did. Actually, like my eyes went crazy owl big and then kind of came back.
Yeah, they went anime big for a minute.
What if?
I'm totally taking credit for that too. Like I guess Ubisoft helped me some, but not really.
You know, so me personally, I'm excited for the game, and I've had a couple of conversations with friends, and I seem to be right now in my like immediate group to be the lone voice going, "Yeah, Assassin's another game." Like I finished three, and was like, "Aw,
I just want to stop hunting for feathers."
No, there's feather hunting in this game.
Damn it.
Like, what are you against feathers?
Okay, well, for one, I mean, and I played Assassin's
from... There won't be
from,
as many feathers.
I played there weren't as Assassin's many feathers in three strongly as two. From Brotherhood
yep.
on, and then I went back and started playing two, because you gave me two, and I'm yep. like, I should have played those in order, but whatever, I'm mm-hmm. playing them. And I am that person who, I get through the story, but then I just want to fill the entire map. Like, I just want to get... all the tailors and all. I just want all the money.
She wants all the things.
I want all the things. So I mean, and I go after them viciously and meticulously, and it's a thing to watch. It's beauty and splendor.
She has collector's OCD.
I do, and in the last game, I was feather hunting, and there was this one feather, and I could see it, and I'm like, all right, I could see the path, like my eagle vision. I'm like, I can see with my eagle vision. What I have to do. Could I do it? No. I kept falling too short. I couldn't grab on. I mean, and I just sat there literally for 1 hour. And Eshmom's watching. She's like, are you just trying to get... I'm like, I'm just trying to get that feather, Mom. I'm just trying to get... That's the last one. I got every other thing. I did all those time trials in the things that were also... I did it all. And that one feather is still sitting there unclaimed because it's a bitch. That feather's a bitch.
Okay. Panda, I'm sorry. That feather is a bitch.
Like, I'm so close to getting my platinum, but it's that fucking feather's fault that I don't have it.
That fucking
feather murdered my
keeping
parents.
Keeping you from a digital trophy.
You know what the problem is?
Sorry.
You know what the problem is? Is that you're playing it on PlayStation.
Ooh.
If you're playing
sweet
on the Xbox,
burns.
If you're playing on Xbox, you would have had that feather.
You might have something there.
Oh, it wounds my heart.
You might have something there.
And I'm like,
just saying. Just saying. You might already have that achievement.
It angers and infuriates me. And the weird thing is, I really dig the trophy system. I know people hate it. I like it because, yeah, it's a trophy. Yeah, it's digital, so it doesn't clutter up my room. Not that I would have space for any of them anyway. But still, I like trophies. They make me feel important. Okay. Like I've achieved something more than a number. Granted, my number is big. What? So, I mean, I'll take that, too. I will take that, too.
Okay. All right. You know, I don't know. I enjoy the franchise. And so, to know that they've got another game ready to go, I've been impressed by the trailers. They made me interested, which is what a trailer is supposed to do, make you interested in
the game. I just
want
a girl assassin. When are we going to get a girl one?
You got one Vita.
Yeah,
there was the one on the... Yeah. I was about to say.
Yeah. I don't have a Vita, though.
Yeah, nobody does.
Can we get some ladies for the consoles that aren't crap? Like, could we
get... Do you want to make a petition for that?
Like, I don't even care that she's not black. Like, I just want a strong female assassin. I know, so that's great. That's great, but I'm still not buying a Vita. It's not enough. Not enough for me to constitute buying a Vita.
Well, speaking of strong female leads, ba-dum-bum, ha, segue,
high
up?
Five! Mm.
Yeah, it was almost like we planned that.
We didn't, though.
We didn't plan that at all. We have been talking amongst ourselves and a little bit with the world about the new Tomb Raider game.
Yep.
You know, when the little bit of controversy popped up about the...
Does she get raped? Is she about to get
not
raped?
Not attempted rape. Is it a groping? Is it a graping?
A grape?
Because it's like
it's a grope
groping
and a rape.
With
a grope
without
with
permission.
A dash of rape in it.
You know, which frankly, I think we can all be adults here and go, if somebody's making a sexual advance towards me and I say no and I don't want it,
well, wait, or I'm tied up in a way Mara that I can't... Does Mara say no?
No, but she's tied up to a tree, so she can't get away.
Well, I mean, I would still be saying no.
Yeah, I would mostly be,
like, no, like person, don't rape me!
And, you know, peeing myself so as not to be, you know, attractive.
Like, oh man, I would do all the things that would make me very unappealing on that tree. No shame,
I drool all over myself, just...
It's like I had rabies. Constant flatulence. You do not want to be near me in this tree. The echo footprint is so big right here. Don't come over here.
Oh my!
And then when Barbara Walters wants to talk to me, I'm like, I don't want to discuss exactly what happened, but it was messy and carnal and real. That's all I'm gonna say, Barbara. All I'm gonna say.
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do to save yourself. I mean, but damn, Panda.
I go the distance.
Obviously. I have been really excited about the Tomb Raider reboot since it was announced, because Lara Croft is one of, a hallowed, if you will, character when it comes to video games.
A woman of endowed presence.
Well, when you think about the lineage of, I'm not even going there. If you think about the lineage of video games, right? The kind of defining characters, the ones that people who are not gamers know about. Mario, Zelda, even if they don't know that Zelda's actually the princess and not the little green guy, they know of Zelda, they know of Lara Croft, especially because of the movies with, what's her face? Angelina Jolie.
Ugh.
I know. Well, the second one was actually...
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Angelina alone.
I'm not hating on Angelina.
The first movie
was kind of like suspect. The second movie was actually a good action movie. Just saying.
Like, yeah. In terms of the video game movies, they're classics.
Well, yes. I mean, for the bar as far as video game movies, they are cinema.
Really?
And Yui Boll should never be allowed to touch a camera again. But
Bad Yui Boll.
But for me, I've been really excited more so to see a strong female character that isn't hypersexualized, or at least that's not the main focus or defining piece of her character for a long time. You know, and we've seen better female characters in games. I would say definitely over the last 10 years, there's been a huge, huge change in kind of the perception of female characters as not just being a damsel in distress, you know, side character, but as being a strong co-lead, if not lead, in a game.
Independent woman.
That all gamers can, you know, have some fun playing. And so I've been really excited to see Tomb Raider finally come to light, because I think... it's just going to be an amazing game. Like, I've watched some of the gameplay that's happened, different reviews that have been going around and previews.
I saw Conan's Clueless Gamer review of Tomb Raider.
That's classic.
And it was really, really good, because, for one, I like the fact that he's coming from a standpoint of, I don't touch games. And he's got a guy with him who's, like, a game expert, who I don't really think is it, but whatever. I'll pretend. I'll just ban my belief for a second. And... he was just, you know, and Conan was making a lot of observations about how attractive Laura was. And, you know, every time that there was a QTE where, like, Laura had to, like, pull that stick out of her side that we've seen in the live demos that they've done.
Yep.
Or, like, when she's trying to get herself off the hook. So, like, he would have to do it. And he's like, those are some really good faces. And, like, in my mind, I'm like, I would not, does he not know that people were kind of, and I think he was playing up to that because I'm sure he was aware or his team briefed him on that. And they had to stop the review because the guy's like, yeah, we gotta stay away from the pervy comments because it kind of got some heat for that already. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry for my pervish comments, but I mean, look at that rack. Like, come on. Like, the guy purposely dropped her off the boat to look at her cleavage. Look. Like, and he was calling attention to it. But I like that they come from the perspective of someone who doesn't play games. And you could see him getting excited for the action that he got to play, and granted, he like skewered her head like 6 times on a branch.
Yeah, that's
gonna be really interesting, because I'm thinking the older games, you didn't get a lot of that hint of danger for
her.
Because she always had her gun, she always had her skills, and she jumped in, like, perfect somersault form. She right. never fell, really. And, like, this Laura is just falling off of shit all the time. It should just be Laura Croft, I fall off shit all the time.
Rita. It should be called. Oops, I fell again.
I will say, to me, like, that, I'm not really a Tomb Raider guy.
Wow.
Never have been. Wow. Yeah, never have been. Primarily maybe because, I mean, the first ones came out on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
I want to say that the first one came out on PC.
And then they brought it over
ported it to PlayStation.
And then we saw the rest of them on, yes, I would say that.
Either way, when it first started, I didn't have a game-worthy PC or a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things I kind of watched from afar, and I was like, oh, it's cool, but I never felt really compelled to play it. I eventually did get my hands on a title, and it was just like, oh, it's all right. It doesn't wow me. But this reboot does have me interested, only because I like the idea of her not being the badass that you know Laura Croft to be from the very beginning, and right. her developing into that. Like, I would like to see how people handle that in this generation of game making, and see if it's an actual natural progression, or if it turns out to be something different.
Yeah, because I think that that's something that is much more enjoyable, and I think that we have learned that, and the industry has learned that over the last 3 years especially, is that gamers are really looking for a full experience when they pick up a game. We want a good story, we want great action, we want great
visuals. We just want it to be fucking perfect. Can you deliver that?
I don't think that we need fucking perfection.
Just perfection? Yeah, we can minus the fucking. We just wouldn't need perfection.
I'm just thinking, you know, as a whole, like, when we think about games that everyone in the room goes, oh my god, and gets excited about, it's like, you know, anything from BioWare.
Yes.
Okay? The entire room, I don't care if you got 5 people.
I'm even looking at Awakening.
Or 500 people, because you know you're going to get a really good story. It's going to be amazing graphics. The gameplay is really going to be challenging, but not bash your head into the wall.
Not, I give up.
And it's going to be rich, but not necessarily, you know, too deep. Like, it's going to be, you can get through it in 30 hours if you need to, but if you really want to go through and get the whole experience, it's there. And I feel like that's what a lot of gamers are looking for and gravitating towards. And when you get to do the exposition of a character the right way, as opposed to, you know, just, this happened to this person, and that's why they're angry right now. Go and beat up the town. And it's like, I don't, okay. You know, there's no, I can't align with that. I can't put myself like, in those shoes.
What's my motivation for the destruction?
Exactly.
He scuffed your puma, is that right?
I mean,
he stepped on your toe and apologized, but you still need vengeance?
Think about it. When we were watching the PlayStation 4 announcement, right?
Yes.
You and I both had a oh snap moment when they started, Sucker Punch started talking about Infamous Second Son.
Yes. Yes, I did. I was like, oh, like that. Yeah. For like a minute.
And it's not because of just the graphics, but it's because of the experience we know that we're going to get. And so the thing for me that I've been really excited about, and, you know, Mayer touched on, is that I'm really looking forward to exploring Lara before she became a badass. Because I know Lara as a badass. I've had those experiences. That's not new. But to have, you know, a Lara Croft who isn't really good yet at working with a single gun.
No, in fact, she really sucks.
Let alone two. You know, that has never killed a person before and then has to struggle with
what does
doing
that mean?
That.
What does that do to me as a person now?
That's really interesting to me. And that's what's really got me excited for the fifth. Because I'm really looking forward to getting to learn about that Lara. As opposed to the one that I already know, who is just a badass. Like, you don't just wake up badass unless you Chuck Norris.
I'm kind of happy to see that a lot of series and franchises that we really love, that the companies and the developers are ballsy enough and brave enough to go, okay, well, we've given you a concrete concept, but we're going to play with it now. Come with us on that, you know, trust us enough that we know what we're going to do, to enjoy what we're going to do. Because, I mean, a lot of people are like, don't touch my Lara, don't touch my Dante, don't touch my Sonic. You need to touch Sonic, because they need to go back to what they were doing with him. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
You should definitely touch Sonic.
But see, and I love the idea, because one, it makes me have to expand and come out of my jaded, I like the things the way that they were, and I get to benefit from that.
Why so jaded, bro?
Yeah, exactly. Why are we all so jaded? It's like, we're not paying to make it. They're coming up with the money. They just want to coop their losses, and if it's good, then shut the fuck up and enjoy, bitch. Damn.
And tell them.
I'm just saying.
I don't need to jump into that. Right.
I'm intrigued with the nuggets that they've given me from this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people were like, oh, the Dante reboot, I don't know if I like it. I liked the reimagining, and that's the whole point. It's a reimagining, so if you really don't like it, you don't have to buy into it.
Right.
It could be a one-off for you, and you're done, and it doesn't weigh on your gamer conscience for the rest of your natural born life. You know? Like, why are people so damn serious? Why?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
But I'm fucking pumped. Just pumped.
And, you know, for me, having the multiplayer aspect, I think that that's also something that will be really new and different for me, because I've never done a multiplayer in a Tomb Raider game.
What? I didn't know that. I do not know that news. We're getting multiplayer in this shit? For real?
Do you read the notes? Like, did you read the highlighted ones. Did you flip the page? See, if you flip the page.
Oh, damn it, you highlighted.
Yeah, if you flip the page, there's a whole, where it's like, here's the stuff you need to know about multiplayer.
Holy crap. Woohoo!
See, look, I wish I had a good producer like that would highlight stuff for me.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, she's like, here, and I'm like, yay, sipping my coffee. I did not see the highlight for the multiplayer section, but now I'm just... See, but now we get general enthusiasm on the show, because I didn't know.
She's like, I'm too real for this podcast.
So real. I'm really, really real. I'm real.
Okay, Ken.
I love it. Hell yeah. Survivor mode, I'm there. I need a party. Let's do this on Tuesday. Fuck work. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still in probation period. I gotta go. After
the probationary period, though.
3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. You're killing me.
I can set traps and activate special features. I'm totally reading. But that's okay, because that's awesome. Yes. I'm not crying right now.
You might be, just a little bit.
That is wonderful.
You're special.
I love it.
Panda. You're so special.
I love Lamp and Tomb Raider.
You kill me. So I'm looking forward to multiplayer, not with the new enthusiasm that you have.
Like, it's bright and shiny enthusiasm. Like, Ni No Kuni enthusiasm.
But I feel like it's just another way that, you know, Crystal Dynamics has really kind of said, okay, we get gamers, we get what you want, we get what you're interested in, we've got a really strong single player, you know, campaign, but there's also multiplayer.
Let's jazz it up with some multiplayer.
You know, so I'm interested in playing that, just as much as I was surprised by the multiplayer in the next thing that we're going to talk about. See? Segue.
Wait, what version are you getting? Because now I know there's multiplayer. I want to get the one that you're getting your console on. And we can play multiplayer together and be survivors and kick ass.
I am getting Tomb Raider on the Xbox 360.
Okay, so I'm not getting it for the PS3.
It is available for the PS3. And it's one of the few games that I picked up a non-collector's edition of.
Well, I mean, we are in a recession.
So I know. I'm trying to be more fiscally responsible.
Fiscal responsibility.
Somewhere, a Sony executive just dropped one teardrop from that last conversation.
I know, just a single one. But I'm going to make them feel better, because I did get the collector's edition for God of War Ascension, which is what we're going to talk about now.
See, he just hugged a puppy.
Just like that. He just bought
six puppies to give away at the next staff meeting.
He just bought a car that he calls Puppy.
Yes.
So, God of War, Ascension. I don't think that we can talk enough about Ascension.
I mean, every time something new came up, we're like, let's talk about this thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're right on top of the news for God of War Ascension.
Sony released the beta, not beta, but the
demo.
First demo, which is the first level for the PS3 for non-PS and Plus customers.
I'm not a Plus member.
So I finally downloaded it, and I have PSN Plus, but I had all kinds of stuff going on and life and work and all that kind of crap, so I never got around to downloading the demo. But I finally did, and I gotta say a couple of things. One, it was, for me, the first time that I'd had a big, massive demo download in a reasonable amount of time.
How big was it?
Well, it's basically 4 gigs. It's like 3.8 gigs.
Woo! That is beefy.
It's beefy.
It's like a Gordita Plus. I heard
it had like a giant trailer attached to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is marketed to within an inch of its life. So the History Channel has, I'm going to imagine, ponied up some serious money to be the...
They did a Kickstarter.
...major marketing sponsor for the game because it's tied into... promotions for the History Channel's new TV show on Vikings that airs the day after the game releases. So the Vikings series airs on 3/13 with the game coming out in the U.S. on 3/12. And it's mostly, I would say, the History Channel attempt to cash in on the enthrallment that a lot of viewers have with
Spartans and warriors and history.
That series that's on HBO right now.
Game of Thrones?
Thank you, that one.
Winter is coming.
Exactly. But with something that is actually more accurate. Not much, but somewhat.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, incest going on.
Duh.
So, I mean, I think HBO got really accurate on the incest.
HBO would definitely nail the sexual aspects of history. Did you watch Rome?
Wasn't Rome just seriously an hour-long orgy on HBO?
No, it was really more like 35 minutes of orgy with maybe 10 to 15 minutes of killing.
Plot?
And then 5 minutes of plot.
Oh, okay. At least they got a solid 5 minutes of plot.
Yeah, it was solid, though.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
It better be.
Anyway... But the demo is blanketed wall to wall with promos for Vikings piece. There's even a piece it starts off with that you have to know how to bring the control system up to skip with Todd Pappy, who's the lead developer for the game.
He had some serious dead eyes.
Because he was reading from a teleprompter.
He was just like, I'm reading like this.
If you watch the actual video, so within the demo, there are a bunch of different video clips. One that is the official trailer for the game. There's two promos pieces for this Viking series on History Channel. There's a kind of behind the scenes, you know, art and history and process behind creating Ascension, which is really interesting. It's a short piece. It's not as long as the video download that came if you purchased Ghost of Sparta on the PSN, where you got the whole collector's edition of God of War 3, where you got the whole Behind the Myths 45-minute piece on the history and the myths that are shared in the God of War lineage.
Mythology, but ethos, bitch.
The piece that's in there is really interesting to see how some characters came to life, some animations came to life, some of the little nuanced things that you'll see in the game are much more interesting, where they show how they, you know, built in a layer of on a one of the big enemies that you fight that notice things in the room. And it's just a layer. So they don't just walk dead straight towards you as they're surveying, but they actually will take notice of statues that are around them or other things as they pass by them and follow them, you know, the way that the human head and would normally follow if they saw something of interest, which is really interesting.
Shiny.
Yeah. And so you get through all of that, and then there's, like, one other video, and then you finally hit the thing that's the actual demo. So I think if you stripped out all that additional video content,
it might have only been 2 gigs.
It might have only been like a gig and a half.
Which is what makes Sony friggin' dumbasses.
But because it's such a, like, when you first fire it up and you're like, oh my god, here we go. And you're like, wait, nope, Todd Pappy's telling me about Vikings. What?
I know. And I noticed that the logo for Vikings is that very pale silver steel color that Kratos kind of is. It has like a blood splatter, kind of very similar to the blood splatters you'll see in, you know, any God of War game.
Yes.
I'm like, how convenient that that looks similar when they're talking about fucking Vikings.
Supplies. Like, it's just, it's such a marketing package. And don't get me wrong. Look, I understand you gotta market. You gotta
The lead Viking guy is kind of hot, so I mean, I might watch the first episode.
You gotta get some extra dough wherever you can get that extra dough to push it out the door, because it's no, you know, small, cheap feat to produce and release.
It's a massive
of War game. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, like, I get you gotta market this, but every time you watch a video, it's framed within a whole promo for Vikings.
Like, honestly, I think you should have been able to play the demo first, and then made the special features about Vikings be in the credits, the credit end of the demo, so then you watch it at the end. So you get your yay, and then, oh no, we got some obligation time, okay.
Exactly. You know, it's like a YouTube
party
ad.
Party in the front, business in the back.
I don't like being forced into watching an ad if I have to watch it in the beginning. But if you force me to watch it at the end, I might watch more than the first 5 seconds of it before I kill the
window. I might
be
like, oh, it's running right now. I can go make myself a grilled cheese sandwich. Now it's time to play the demo.
You know, so that being
said, what'd you think of the demo?
Ah, well,
see, that's where I was
we're going.
So we played the demo nonstop.
Ninja played it first, and then brought her fatty upstairs.
Yep,
because I didn't download it because I'm like, I'm not downloading that.
Nope.
And then I played it, and then Hot Mess played it after I did.
Yep.
So I don't know how long it took you to complete the demo.
Oh yeah.
Ninja. But I know it took me a good 20 minutes. So, 20-minute demo. And, I mean, I was dying a lot because I'm a little rusty. I'm a dodging a little bit.
Yeah, your evade needs a little work.
But now I know that about myself, so I have a goal.
That's good. That's
good. Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hot Mess played it after me, and he got it done in 7. I timed that bastard.
Wow. Yeah.
He's just naturally attuned. He's ready to go.
He beat my time. I completed it in 10.
Yeah. So, I'm the slow one. Graphics are amazing. So... let's see. I like it. Eshmom really likes it. Like, every time we play the demo, she's like, I know I've seen it, but I want to watch you guys play it again. Because, I mean, she likes to see how fast we're thinking about what our next set of having to do's are. And how we're going to approach those. And, I mean, the first level-ish area that they show is so massive. Like, it's big. So I think this time they're like, you know what? We don't want people doing time trials of this shit. We really want you to sit in this universe and really just get overly saturated in God of War. So they're going to make you do it a lot. There's like, there's no fast track here.
I mean, the first reaction that I had to it, and, you know, I was already familiar with what the majority of the demo was going to look like, because Sony had published the first 30 minutes, game playthrough online, so I was already familiar with where I was probably going to need to go and what things were going to look like. But what I wasn't prepared for was when I actually got into the demo, just really and truly how detailed it was. You know, that was one of the things that I didn't really pick up on at the media briefing at E3, and it really hasn't been something that until you played it and you could see it and you could be part of it, you really don't, I think, grasp just how detailed light and shadow and characters and the environment is. And then as a next layer, just how vast the environment is.
You know, how all of it is constantly moving, even if you're not aware that it's moving.
And that to me
and
is...
And breathing.
I really take my hat off to the Santa Monica team because...
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing on the Hecatoncles, which you learn, as Linda Hunt is explaining...
Again, is love
this,
her.
I love her. This massive being with multi-arms and that he was punished. And you get the hint that he was turned to stone by seeing him locked inside of a stone as you get ready to start.
Well, you don't fuck with Zeus. You don't say, hey, buddy, I'm going to do this deal with you. You know what? Never mind. You don't turn your back on Zeus. ever.
Yeah.
You always keep him in the peripherals.
Always.
You keep him right there at all times. Because the minute you turn around, you're fucked.
Absolutely.
Which is exactly
what that guy did.
He turned around and then boom.
Yep.
Punishment.
Just like that.
And offer him candy. Zeus likes candy.
Zeus does. He actually likes Swedish fish.
Ambrosia. Because it's like ambrosia, that's why. Mm. Ambrosia, so, snack of the gods.
Anyway, Swedish fish.
No calories.
Snacks of the gods. but, because God's worried about calories.
Well, I mean.
They gotta watch their figure.
I mean, because they don't want to have to keep melding it with magic, because, I mean, that's wasteful.
It takes time.
Yeah. Like, like seconds, as opposed to, you know, just eating right the first time and exactly. Not having to do it.
Exactly. So, for me, as I start the demo and realize very quickly that I'm on the Hecatoncalese, you start, at least for me, going, holy shit, this is going to be a huge level. Like, I'm used to big levels, and I think that, for me, God of War 3 was kind of like the pinnacle of, wow, this level is really vast, it's not long, but it's deep, and there's all kinds of things that for me to explore, and I can actually do that now. That was really kind of my, wow, these guys can't get any better than this.
And I mean, and the transitions between what's playable and what's FMV is borderline impossible to detect. Like, half the time I'm going, oh, is this a scene? And then let me touch the controller to see, oh no, I can move. Okay, all right, this is actually playable.
Yeah, that helped to me a couple of times. And so that kind of border where, you know, we're all used to having that frame freeze for a second, and then it takes over and you know that, okay, now it's my turn to move. That's gone. In this game.
It's practically
I only noticed it one time, and frankly, I know that I noticed it because of my fatty, my PS3, and not because of the game.
Uh-huh.
Because it was a little warm at the time. Because I might have been playing it a little bit. But
it's just glad you gave it attention.
It really is. It is so excited about that right now. But for me, you know, as I sit there and I look at getting through the demo, which I absolutely love the demo. If I wasn't already sold on getting the game, the demo will sell you on getting the game. Because if you like action puzzlers, the demo gives you just enough of that to let you know what the overall puzzle solving architecture is going to be like in the game. It gives you a very clear indication of how quick-paced fights and battles are going to be, and how really and truly Kratos now has to be aware of his entire environment. Because there are things that are happening across the environment that you can either use to help aid you in your fight between quick TEs that you'll use to damage opponents, but also using other enemies that you're felling as weapons or to increase your weapon range as you're attacking enemies becomes really important.
I was curious about that long grapple, but it is truly really effective. Going into this game where you could just pull an enemy and then throw that enemy at another enemy while you're then ripping the head off of another enemy.
Well, and it's also a way for you to help keep enemies in check because you can long-range grapple now, which means you can basically chuck one of your Blades of Chaos into another enemy, basically holding them at bay, slowly bringing them close to you, and while you have that enemy held in that grapple, you can still use your other Chaos Blade to fend off the enemies surrounding you. So it really becomes a mechanic for you to almost shield yourself from a direction, because as you turn, that enemy that's slowly coming towards you that you have on the grapple will turn in that direction.
It's like another warm body while you're figuring out what your next
exactly. So
is.
If you're the type of player that tends to get swarmed a lot,
like me,
it'll be a mechanic that you will really need to master.
Yep.
And I absolutely love the demo. I thought that the way that they changed the level up screen just to make it more simplified and easier to see what's going on where and to get more information, I like that. Doing the whole Omega symbol for the whole side of the screen, sometimes it made it a little difficult for me to make sure that I was leveling up the right weapon, but this is very clear. You get a nice big view of the weapon that you currently have selected when you're leveling it up, and you have very clear indication of what powers you're leveling up to. So I really was very impressed with the demo. I'm so excited for the game. I actually took the day off of work so I could play
I'm glad you are, because I can't But I'll be coming in at 3 to see your progress. Because usually we marathon.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually our marathoned. Esh tradition, where we marathon it and get it done in a day. And even Esh was like, I don't know if you're going to get this done in a day. I'm like, hot non-believer! Mess is coming. Shun the non-believer. Just okay. Get me a ham and cheese sub and some Pringles chips and a big gulp that I'll only drink like 3 sips from, and I'm good.
Look, all I need...
I will get it done.
...is pizza and chips.
Give me some pizza bites and some meatloaf. It's gonna be 24 hours.
And maybe some mini meatballs. I'm just saying.
That's what the meatloaf is for.
Oh.
Just a little slice of meatloaf. And you can even just make like a pizza bite meatloaf sandwich bite. And be a gross motherfucker and eat it.
I love how put bite at the end of that colossal thing.
Like it's these 2 little pizza bites and this long slivery piece of meatloaf.
That don't make it small, Panda. That don't make it small because you put bite at the end.
That don't.
It's a big old bite.
It's like a burger bite. A Bobby Flay burger bite, which is essentially just a burger.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Really. But yeah, I think that the demo was really great. If you haven't had a chance to play it yet, you should. Whether or not you have the ability to take the time to download the 4 games.
I mean, download it, have somebody monitor your PlayStation while it's doing that. Go make them a snack because they're doing you a solid.
Well,
and then enjoy the demo.
One of the things that I have to say, which you know Sony kind of alluded to in their PS4 briefing, of improving the download times for downloadable content. It's one of the things that would make it possible to do cloud gaming and get your games from the cloud on the new PlayStation system. Hold on.
Is my money in the cloud too?
Technically. It's not in your pocket, is it? It's in a bank. How do you get it?
I got like $4 in my wallet right now, dog. I got money in my wallet.
You always have $4 in your wallet.
Well, because I found a genie and I made a wish that I always had at least $4 in my wallet at all times.
Well, you should have upped that. You should have said $400.
Well, you know, I didn't want to be greedy.
You should have been greedy. That would solve so many problems for us.
Hey, I have money. $4. Yay.
But, you know, when I downloaded the demo on our connection, which is pretty good internet... I was able to download the 4 gigs in under 15 minutes. And I was really surprised by that.
Wow.
Yeah, because typically, you know, a download that big would be like a, you know, hour and some change download.
Dude, I'm a huge God of War fan. I'm excited about this game. I'm not downloading that demo. I'm not
going to
do it.
Why do it when in 2 weeks it's going to like be available for you to pay and play the whole thing?
I'm not going to do it. It's going to take too long. And it's like, you have to understand, you know, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a very easygoing guy. I'm happy most of the time. You know what gets my grawl? Like one of the few times I can honestly say,
grinds
like,
your gears.
Yeah. You know, what grinds my gears? Like what? Where I can honestly say to myself that I get, like, you know, frustrated and in a state of discomfort, like, you know, where I'm just like, I'm not happy about where I am in life, is when I'm downloading anything on PlayStation Network. Like, it's really just one of those things where, and it's because I have an Xbox 360, you know, where that, like, it's like, because I download things over there, it just happens, like, you know, so much less painstakingly than this other console that sits right next to me. I'm just like, oh my God. Like why can't it just work? Like I downloaded the Ascension multiplayer.
Right.
You know, because I wanted to try it. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I love God of War. It's a great franchise. You know, I downloaded that joint. It took forever.
And it's still like downloading now.
Right now, no. And it's like, it's not like my connection's terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not Fios, but it's a good connection. I do all types of things from that connection. The only thing that happens really slow is PS or PlayStation Network downloads. And then once I did get it downloaded, I couldn't connect to any games, and I was like, I can't believe it. I did not get to play one multiplayer match on God of War Ascension.
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah.
Go through all that. And then that? No.
Yeah.
No.
And I was angry. And I was just like, damn it, this is some bull. And I was like, let me just... I don't think I even looked at my PlayStation for like a week and a half after that.
And he got really big and green and was like, Mayor Smash! that's so, what happened.
I don't think
so. I'm not downloading it, but I will be buying the game because, like I said, I bought God of War 3 and I didn't have a PlayStation.
Wow, that's love.
That's commitment.
I'm playing it in my PS3 in my mind because I don't have one tangibly.
Well, like I bought it and I ended up borrowing a PlayStation 3 to play it on, and then I got one of my own eventually. So
wow, that's trust because I would never loan out a console.
Oh, no, whatever. I mean, you got to have the right friend.
Look, you would loan me your console.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me put that in UPS right now, Lawrence. let me go put it in a nice box and ship it. Yep. And you can have at it. Yep.
There you go. Look, if I say Panda make it happen, you go make it happen, Panda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't lie.
I said yeah, didn't I?
Yeah, but you're saying
I was going to go maybe, but I'm like, nah, yeah.
Yeah, you're sitting there and you're like, yeah. Yeah.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Dude, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I will say this. This will probably be the first PlayStation multiplayer that I play, period.
Really?
I'm very curious about it.
Except for, I guess I got to take that back technically because I did play DC Universe Online. I did play that on PlayStation.
Oh, that was you?
I know, right.
You were that one dude that we saw that one time?
Me and the Fantastic Four. We were the guys. No.
I was about to say, because there was like 5 people max.
Yeah. And trust me, like I only played it like for 2 sessions and I was like, okay, I'm good. Yeah.
And the 5th guy was a bot. He wasn't even real.
So, you know. We'll see. But yeah, so I'm excited. So the idea that I actually have a game on my PlayStation that I can play with people that will also be playing, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like I have a couple games on PlayStation 3, but people don't play those games.
And then people see you play. They're like, why is he playing that?
Right, exactly. Okay. Like, whatever, you savages. You know, I do that on my Xbox too, though, so that's not a PlayStation thing.
No, I find that the majority of my PlayStation games are not games that have a multiplayer piece. And it's not really by design. It's just kind of how things have worked out. But I did play a little bit of Uncharted 3 multiplayer.
Not with me.
Nope. Not with you.
Sorry.
No, you're not. Don't lie.
Okay, I'm not sorry.
Thanks. Be honest.
Let's be honest.
Just be honest about it.
All right.
You ain't gotta lie.
All right.
It's in the past.
Well, I'm really high level now, so it'd be difficult.
You know what? Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Because I'm not at a really high level.
Are you like level 5?
I'm level 10.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad. I'm just level 37.
Yeah, you know what? We just let it go.
37?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm a beast.
I don't want to talk to you. It makes really doing a podcast.
Well,
but really
they should feel better in my crew. They're all like level 50, so I'm the
no,
little one.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Not at all.
I'm the
not
little
the
one.
Least. Because you have a crew. So you could have stopped right there.
Well, I mean, it's 2 other dudes. Because you can only
yeah,
play with 3.
I know. Yeah. You just stop right there.
You have a crew and your sister not in the crew.
Yep. I got a crew. You ain't in it. That's what you just said.
Because, yeah.
You know, yep. You want to let that go?
You're
now?
In my family crew.
Yeah,
that's blood. That's
yeah.
blood.
What I don't play with though.
That's you and Ninja and Esh Mom. Is that? What
oh my god,
Esh Mom does not have.
And we're a crew of 3. What?
Esh Mom doesn't play.
No, I think she would freak out if we actually made her touch a controller.
Esh Mom's in the support group.
She is. She will watch.
She's
will backseat
medic.
Drive.
She's throwing the band-aids.
Yep.
Esh Mom is moral support crew.
She is on snack delivery.
Yep.
Snack
delivery. She is beverage service.
Mom, Hot Pocket! It's almost done. Damn.
The big gulp.
Yep.
Baby, do you need a straw? Yes. I can't hold my cup and play a video game at the same time, Mom.
The problem with it is that she walks in front of the screen all the time.
All the damn
at
time.
At the wrong damn time.
During QTEs where I'm like, I need to be seeing the whole screen.
And then she laughs the shit-inning grin laugh that you just, it's priceless.
And now she purposely stands in front of it sometimes and she's like, I shouldn't do that, huh? I'm like, you know. You know.
Instigator. But for me, like, the multiplayer on God of War being one of the first things that I kind of went, okay, this is definitely telling me that the game is going in a different direction than I'm used to the game going in. And even some of the comments that, David Jaffe made about it really made me want to experience it even more. Because to have David Jaffe come out and like, look, I played it. I think that, you know, multiplayer is really strong. As long as it doesn't pull away from the single player campaign, then there's really and truly a reason to have it. It's justified. And I feel that it's really good. Like, there's no watering down of Kratos' story or experience to accommodate the multiplayer. And there have been plenty of games, I'm sure we could all sit here and rattle off a list, where it felt like they took some of the balls out of the single player campaign to add them to the multiplayer to give the multiplayer some reason for being. And if David Jaffe says he didn't get that feeling out of this game playing it, then that's all right by me. Because as we all know, he is an opinionated picky bitch.
When I hear Jaffe, I think Jaffa Cakes, which makes me hungry. I know you
do. What don't we mention that makes you hungry?
Whoa.
Yeah, you got nothing.
No.
You got nothing. Because everything comes back to cheese.
Cheddar, baby. Bling, bing. Cash money. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what
I just want to play word association. I just want to play word association with you for one whole podcast.
It would be the funniest podcast that we ever had.
I'm just going to be like Boba Fett and see what happens.
Pez dispenser. Because there is one and it's awesome. But I don't like Pez candy. I'd rather it be like an M&M dispenser. Because then you have M&Ms. And M&Ms are good. And you can take them everywhere. They fit in your pocket and in your purse. Why am I doing this?
Oh, this podcast is going to be so awesome.
I'm done.
So, pretty much March is like a ridiculously strong month. We're leading off with Tomb Raider. Then you go right into Ascension.
Technically, if things had gone the way that they were supposed to, we would be talking about BioShock in this mix.
Well, I mean, look, BioShock got pushed so many times, but it's finally Golden Master. We're going to be talking about it probably next week-ish, maybe. I don't know. Let's see.
Right. We'll find out.
We might have some other things going on.
To be continued.
Yes, because we might do a live play next week of Tomb Raider.
So well, I mean, you're going to be playing things. It. I'm going to be riffing on you playing it. It's going to be good times.
For you.
I might die a lot. That's okay. I die a lot, too.
Okay. My back catalog is ridiculous, and you still haven't fit me with Far Cry. With the weed mission.
I have to help you with the weed mission.
Gotta help me with the weed mission. I need support, bro.
I know. All right. You haven't played it.
But March, looking really strong, I think. The last thing that I just want to add really quickly, because I feel like it just needs to be said, is another thing that really quickly popped out, and it warmed my subcockle area. Yeah, I said it.
Someone's going to make a clip of that now.
Oh, who? I don't care. Make a clip of
me. We dare you. Do it.
Anyway, I didn't dare anybody. You did that.
But I'm not the one who said it, so... Nothing.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 is not dead.
Nope, they made an announcement like, it's still around.
And that just made me so happy. Like, above and beyond the new Assassin's game.
Let me drop this. Do you think it might be something we'll see for the PS4?
Well, here's the thing. You know, when they made the Discovery and then the early announcement about Assassin's 4, one of the things about it is that it will be available for next-gen consoles, meaning PS4, which means if the game's releasing October 29th and you'll be able to play it on your PS4... Then the PS4 has got to be released somewhere
before that, because you're not gonna buy games for a console that hasn't been released yet.
So, I think we got an early peek at the release window for what holiday 2013 means for Sony. And I'm surprised that nobody picked up and was like,
PS4 is coming out October 28th at midnight, which is technically the 29th. So you might as well get both of them at the same time.
You know. So I don't know if it's going to be a launch title or not, but I feel like, you know, we talked about it, and I had hinted that I thought that, you know, Beyond Two Souls, and the reason why we hadn't heard about Last Guardian or seen anything about it was because Sony was holding them because they were going to be released on next-gen consoles. It wouldn't surprise me if when the team finally got focused on working on Beyond Good and Evil, they were already aware that new consoles were going to be coming. and started focusing some specific titles for those platforms. So I hope that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is a next-gen console title. I think that it deserves that. And I think if you think about the video that we saw, the teaser video, and the quality of even just the teaser video, that to me looks like, if you go back and look at it, especially with the pig laying on the hood of the car, that looks to me like next-gen shit. Not pigs, current-gen
next
shit.
Next-gen shit.
Just saying. Pigs. Pigs on a hood, next-gen shit.
That should be a hashtag.
Copyright. ESH Podcast, 2013. What, bitch? No, I think that you're onto something. I think that it will probably be a next-gen title. And I'll tell you right now, if it's a launch title, it would definitely be a title that I would pick up launch day and play on whatever the next-gen console it is. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a PS4 title.
I don't even know how I'm going to save up the money for this next-gen.
You can just play mine. You ain't going to have it. We're going to have to go back to the plan of making a community game room. And all the major consoles are in the community game room.
I guess. Yeah.
We're going to have to make the studio happen.
It's gonna be expensive.
I know, but we're gonna have to do it.
And I got it like that. Like I know. I got it like.
We need to make the Esh Studio. Hot Mess can help.
Yes, I agree.
Shout out to Hot Mess.
Hot Mess! Back in the fold. What's up?
He doesn't listen.
He doesn't listen to me. Well, you just have to use the right motivation. You gotta get the champs out and be like, hey.
Champs! Champs!
That was, you want to pop bottles? Pop bottles?
That was a fun night, champs.
Pop bottles.
Anyway.
So, I want to say that it is always a pleasure having you with us, Mayor, on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always so fun to do.
Well, anytime you want to be in the neighborhood, feel free, swing on by.
We'll give you the good chair.
Yeah, the comfy one that has all the wheels on it, not the one that wobbles. Because that one, we put people we don't like in that chair.
Well...
And make it
usually it's me.
No, you got the
I am in the decent chair today.
Yeah, I've put you in the naughty chair before.
I know.
And you were naughty
because I wobbled during the show.
You were naughty.
I know.
And you learned your lesson, didn't you?
Yep.
All right. So then the chair worked, didn't it?
Yes.
All right. So if you want to keep up with random stuff like this,
like me.
And why wouldn't you? Then make sure that you hit us up on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where you're going to find all of our written reviews, thoughts, musings, articles, opinion pieces, all of that stuff. Join the community over there. Follow our page. You can stay up to date with all of the stuff that we're writing on. You can also hit us up on the podcast homepage, which for now, and possibly forever, but at least for now, is going to be electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. Short address will bounce you to the long one. You check out any articles written in the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/landofesh.
Oh, yeah, and this podcast, we're on it most of the time, all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because it would be silly to have an Electric Sisterhood podcast without any of the Electric Sisters on it. So make
that
sure.
That would be funny.
That would be something. So
It would totally just be like friggin' King Baby Duck and Hot Mess and me.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I kind of want to make that happen.
Friday, but with podcasts. Like you and me would host Boston Bastard Brigade and like
I don't know if I can bring it. I don't know if I can channel
beer.
My inner bastard.
Like we'd be a bastard.
Do you know how much beer I would have to be a bastard?
We could let our accents just be all out. Like,
I'm saying, I would have to have a lot of beer to start dropping my R's.
Beer.
Oh, that's all I beer. That's a lot of beer.
That would be really funny, actually.
We might have to make that happen. But make sure that you tune into our podcast so that you can get all of the awesome stuff, which you can find on our short address, which is...
Oh, whoa, totally blanked.
Yeah, come back away from the beer.
I was like, time. Beer?
I know you like the beer. Come back from the beer.
Wow.
Panda, you still have work.
Okay, And you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for our friends too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. So make sure that you check out our new episodes on Monday. Follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast on Tuesday. On Wednesday, for all your gadget needs and things like that, the Geek Agro podcast, it's getting fired back up, baby. So be on the lookout. Deuce is Wild, bringing it back. And on Thursdays, as soon as Panda gets off her lazy behind make it happen, the Issues Guy podcast will be in iTunes. Until now, you can check it out on Ustream, live, call in.
Check out his wacky antics.
Be part of the show. If you got issues, he got issues, y'all got issues together. Y'all can be friends. Shit, you can do it every weekend.
I went on a show and I bitched about Glee for 2 hours.
Yeah, that was kind of epic.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Glee.
That was Glee, so I was like...
He bitched back, though. He had some Glee gripes.
I was just saying, it was Glee.
I felt bad for King Baby Duck because he's like, I don't even watch Glee. And he just had to sit there and listen to us bitch.
Poor KBD. For the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, like I said, we have all kinds of stuff on our website. You can engage us on Twitter, on Facebook, follow all the news that is ESH News at ESH News on Twitter. If you want to check out everyone who makes up the Land of Esh, then go to my Twitter page, twitter.com/NinjaSista, and check out the Land of Esh list, and you too can be down with the crew. So, yeah. As I've said before, and as we've come to that piece of the show... Mayor, what shit are you digging this week?
You know, I'm a comic book guy.
Yeah.
So, and I've always been a big fan of X-Men. Like that, my first real comic book was an X-Men comic book.
Mm-hmm.
So this past week, I'm digging all the X-Men books that came out. It was like awesome. Like literally, like I want to say like 8 or 9 X-Men books came out, and I was happy.
Panda, what shit are you digging this week?
60 Minutes. The show.
The show?
Yep.
Why?
Because it needs some love. That clock gets me every time. It gets me.
Some love.
It needs some love. So 60 Minutes. What are you digging this week?
This week, I am actually digging a Facebook page called Goats Do It Better, which has basically curated all of the goats yelling as human mashups. Like the Taylor Swift, I Knew You Were a Goat, and
I Knew You Were Trouble
in Paris. And, yeah. So the page started on Tuesday. It's got like 53,000 fans now. And every day there's just a new goat goodness. And it makes me giggle. And I'm digging it.
Come yummy.
Exactly. The Dragon Ball one is kind of.
Do it better.
It's ridiculously funny. So yeah, that's what I'm digging on. That and the Harlem Shake dying.
Oh, good. It's over?
Because the goats have taken over the Harlem Shake.
Oh, good. Goats. Harlem Shake.
They do it better.
There should be a rock, paper, scissor, but Harlem Shake, goats do it better, and...
Auto-tune?
No, something else, though.
Well, think about that.
I will, and then we'll make a game, and we'll play it at PAX East this year.
Sure.
The Harlem Shake has to be, like, the friggin' fastest rising and burning out meme ever, right? Like,
yeah. Well, because there's only 30 seconds on.
No, okay, Ayo. But still, it's like... I got onto it, I want to say now, it was probably like maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, what is this that everybody's talking about? And I was like, when did it start? And I was like, oh, it started like a week ago.
yeah. Basically what happens is when TV stations start doing the meme and
when
putting
GMA
it out.
When GMA is like, we're going to do a Harlem Shake, you're like, and now it's not cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's when you gotta move on to the other thing. And then there were the goats.
And goats win.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Goats win. It's cool.
Goats for the win.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still enjoy a good Harlem Shake, but, like, the Miami Heat did one in the locker room. So I'm like, yeah, that's not
Wait,
cool.
Were they naked?
No. I mean, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to sound, like, disappointed or anything.
Well, I mean... No.
And then...
Anyway.
Where's that? So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
I get to be Mary Young.
And you're always Mary Young.
It's not a bad deal if you can get it. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Woot.
All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are joined again on our podcast by one of our favorite human beings, Mayor Young from Fantastic what? Forum, Gekken, generally of the internet, all games, holy
podcast
crap.
Gentleman of the world.
You are, in fact, a gentleman of the internets.